Hi, everyone. This is JP, and you are listening to the Exploring EOS podcast. You can find all of our episodes over at exploringeos.com. Today, we are talking about Boyd, the social supercomputer. We have on the line founder, CEO, CTO, really the technical founder of Boyd, John Heater. John, welcome to the Exploring EOS podcast.
Hi, JP. Looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, I am glad to have you here. I've been seeing a lot about Boyd on Twitter and around the internets. And so I wanted to bring you on and, you know, spread the word about what you're doing and introduce you to all of my listeners. So can you start off just by introducing yourself, telling us a little bit about your background and how Boyd came to be?
Sure. So I have a background in the video game industry, and I guess in 2015 or so, I started getting my head around blockchain technology. I got into kind of distributed computing and a few other things just kind of as a hobby. And that was the first time when it all kind of clicked for me. I realized how cryptocurrencies can kind of capture the value of something that previously was impossible to capture. Mm-hmm. And within a few months of kind of having that realization, I would like quit my job and was building prototypes and building apps and things in the space.
And wow, I started, so you jumped right in.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you kind of fall down the rabbit hole with this stuff pretty easily, it seems like, once you really understand it. So it definitely happened to me. And my mission has always been to solve the user experience and usability problems in the space, because there's a lot of ideology, but ideology does not equal adoption. There's just tons of examples where usability generally is always going to trump ideology for a mass market audience. So the question is, like, how good can you get the user experience while still maintaining the kind of core ideology that you want to put out there, right? So Boyd is trying to answer that question. We're seeing how far we can push the limits on both of those regards.
Okay, very cool. So where did the name Boyd come from?
Yeah, it's actually a term from the 90s, a computer science simulation. Boyd is short for a Birdoid object. And it basically is a entity, like a digital simulation of a simple entity that responds to its environment in very simple ways. And they kind of, they're usually represented as like a triangle in a space kind of traveling around. They have a direction. And when you put like thousands of them in one space, you get these emergent flocking patterns, very complex patterns emerge out of the simple interactions of the individual Boyds. And that is how I've always understood cryptocurrency networks, as this kind of emergent property of very simple nodes in the system. And when I say nodes, I mean software running on computers, but I also mean people, because this whole thing only works if people believe in it, right?
Yeah, definitely. And that goes straight back to the adoption and the user experience as well.
Absolutely.
So what does Boyd do? What problem are you solving?
So basically, the primary benefits of this kind of blockchain tech is realized when you have massive user adoption. You know, the reason that Bitcoin is worth what it's worth today is not because, you know, it's way better than it was. It's barely changed since it was created. What has changed is the number of people that know about it and care about it and believe that it works or has some fundamental utility. So basically, the more people that you get, the more value you create. The network effects are incredibly strong when it comes to things like value transfer. So we just need to get more people in this space, but barely anyone knows about this stuff. Barely anyone understands it. Why don't more people be in the space? And the answer, one of the answers to that questions to that question is simply just the user experience is extremely subpar compared to what people are used to. And I don't mean the user experience in terms of like buying cryptocurrency and holding it and using it. That's definitely not great, but it's improved significantly. When I say user experience, I mean actually participating in these networks. So the number of people that hold cryptocurrency is like a very small subset. And then the number of people that actually contribute to the decentralized infrastructure is even a smaller subset of that, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
And people are in this space are fairly ideological. Like they want to be part of this decentralized thing, but often they don't have the kind of technical skill and know-how to do it themselves. It's also fairly time-consuming. There's so many issues with participation. So.
That describes me. I'm not super technical person. I have an engineering background, so I can understand the basics of a lot of this stuff, but that's about as far as I go, you know? And so, you know, I tried mining Bitcoin in the early days and things like that, and it really wasn't that easy to do. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these systems really, you know, it's not easy to use. Even EOS at this point, it's getting better every day, but still not very easy.
Right. I mean, it's like trying to use the internet before DNS, just like typing in IP addresses and all this kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So you're working on adoption.
Yeah. We want to just get people that don't know or care about blockchain involved in the blockchain space. And what's really interesting about Boyd is that all you need to get started is like an email, a password, and something that has computing resources. We have people that run Boyd on their iPad. I had someone running Boyd on like their NVIDIA Android console, you know, so you can also install it on your gaming computer. Mm-hmm. And so like the barrier to entry is so incredibly low. You can have someone that doesn't know anything about blockchain. They can install the app, run it for an hour, and they've generated cryptocurrency that they own, you know, and that's a pretty powerful idea.
Yeah. So can you go a little more into detail about what the app is actually doing? Like when somebody signs up, installs the app and is a part of Boyd, what is that doing? What's their hardware doing for the network? And
sure. So right now we have two different ways you can participate. We have proof of work, and we also have, you could call it proof of research, or, you know, this kind of distributed science projects basically. And so when you run the web app, that's just kind of a JavaScript proof of work miner in your web browser. And when you run the desktop app on Mac or Windows, you're contributing to these kind of distributed science projects. If you're familiar with like SETI at Home or Folding at Home or Rosetta, these are kind of different. This is like a whole other category of things outside of the cryptocurrency space. Yeah. that we connect people with.
So I'm familiar with SETI. I remember, man, years ago, I don't know, probably like 2002 or 3 or so, they came out with a screensaver, right, where you would download this, and SETI stands for something like Search for Extraterrestrial something. It's basically,
I forget.
Just for those listening who are not familiar, it's like they have all this data from
radio satellites.
Yeah, satellites and things like that, radio waves that need to be, the data needs to be processed somehow.
They're trying to find some useful data, like a transmission in the noise.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's such a massive amount of data, it'd be very expensive for them to do it themselves. And so this is kind of an academic project where you can put this as a screensaver, where when your screensaver comes up, it uses your extra CPU cycles to kind of crunch the numbers and do all mm-hmm. that data processing for them. So it distributes that. And it's really just like a volunteer thing that people like to do.
Yeah. Well, the reason that we have that integration in Boyd is because we actually connect with a cryptocurrency that monetizes those volunteer contributions. So while traditionally those contributions are volunteer, in the past few years, these kind of cryptocurrencies that monetize scientific computing have become more prevalent. Like Gridcoin is probably the most innovative one that we integrate with right now.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I didn't know that. I remember when it first came out and I was like, oh, this is really cool. And I did it. And then I was like, oh, it's kind of boring because your computer's just running, but still kind of
right.
Cool. So it's kind of helping out. So there's a few cryptocurrencies that monetize this now?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. So Boyd basically is connecting my machine when I download your software to SETI and a few other similar projects. And then, so do I earn Boyd token or do I earn the Gridcoin that you mentioned? Or
right. So basically, because our demographic is people that are kind of outside of the blockchain space, we try to hide as much of the complexity on the back end as possible. So that means that by default, you just get paid in, you just choose like how you want to get paid. Like, oh, I want to get paid in the Boyd token, or I want to get paid in EOS tokens, or, you know, we'll integrate Bitcoin and a few other, you know, whatever the demand is. So users can just kind of receive a payout how in whatever form that they want, and we can handle that transaction. And we're also going to be rolling out like a pro level account that will give you kind of more fine-grained control. Like if you are a big Gridcoin fan and you want to hold on to the Gridcoin, then you could redeem those out of your account directly instead of, you know, having them go through our process.
Okay, cool. So can you explain the token, the Boyd token or coin, or how does that work with the system?
So that's basically going to power the kind of Boyd decentralized infrastructure that we're building. The Boyd token is kind of like your membership in the decentralized community. And it also has a lot of utility functions like in the platform itself. So the Boyd token is really for people who are running the app and they want to, you know, be part of what we're building and want to kind of participate in the platform on a larger scale. Are you familiar with like Supernode architecture blockchains?
Would that be like a Dash?
Yeah, Dash is probably the most popular one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the idea there is that a user locks up a large amount of the coins and provides some kind of hardware infrastructure to the network. And in exchange, they receive dividends and they also have kind of voting authority. So that's a similar structure to what the Boyd sidechain is going to operate. We're going to have basically Boyd supernodes that are responsible for maintaining the infrastructure. So right now you could think of us like we are running the first like Boyd supernode, and we're kind of figuring it all out. And once we have kind of finalized the Supernode software, then it'll be available for anyone to run the software and stake the Boyd tokens. And the idea is that each Supernode is associated with a certain team. And the team is basically kind of a social construct on our platform that allows groups of people to congregate around like a brand identity or, you know, communities outside of Boyd, and they can compete against other teams on the leaderboards and run their own competitions and promotions to try and attract users onto their team. So we're trying to create like an interesting kind of tribalistic competition going on between the teams. And that's actually something we learned from studying these existing distributed science projects like SETI at Home. Like you said, it's not actually that, like it's cool and you start using it, but it's not that interesting like in the long term because it's not like interactive, right? But
right.
So I studied like, well, you know, I mean, there's like millions of people that run the software. So why do they do it? You know, what's the primary motivating factors? And from my research, it was basically people come for the science, or they come because they believe in kind of the big ideas. but they stay for the community and the kind of competitive aspects of it. So because there's a, you know, the Boink infrastructure, the Berkeley Open Infrastructure for Network Computing is actually the software that powers SETI at Home and many other distributed science projects. It has kind of community tools built in, and there's all these kind of teams and competitions that run. And you have these kind of forums that will compete against each other and things like that. So that's, I kind of studied how all that stuff works, and I built like a much cleaner, much more simple and modern version of the kind of, I call them social incentives.
Okay, very cool. Can you explain a little bit more about the teams? Is that connected to the supernodes, or is this more like people coming to and building on the platform and they kind of create their own team?
So basically, if you want to have a team on Boyd, you need to provide some infrastructure to the network. Okay. So you need to run a node and you need to stake some of the Boyd tokens. So that's kind of how that works. There's a lot of terms in Boyd that are kind of an analogy for more technical things that happen under the surface. So like when I say team, I also mean like a supernode, but like most people don't know what a supernode is. So team is kind of a more broad concept.
Sure. Yeah. That makes sense. I guess I missed that before. So that's pretty cool though, because particularly if that team is like SETI or I don't know, some research group that needs to use the network, or like they want to build a tribe kind of thing. Like it kind of incentivizes people to come in to use your network rather than building their own.
Sure. I mean, really, I want it to be a tool for people who have communities to kind of interact with and engage with their community in new ways. I mean, there's no way for people to show off their computing power, like in a social way that's connected with, you know, these social media networks and things like that. So the idea that you could like challenge, you know, imagine these kind of big crypto Twitter influencers, you know, having a fight, you know, they'll get into some kind of a fight on Twitter arguing about something. They could like take it to Boyd and see like, you know, which one of our teams can actually contribute the most computing resources to, you know, these important causes or whatever. So that's, you know, we want to see these kind of competitive aspects coming up.
Yeah, that's cool. So how can you explain how Boyd interacts with EOS? Is this like a new, like separate network from EOS using the EOS software? Is this built on top of the mainnet? How does that work?
Mm-hmm. So basically we're doing it in a kind of a progressive rollout. So we start with the token, and then the next step would be, let me rewind a little bit. The current solution right now is a set of microservices running in the cloud and the token integration of EOS. So over the next 6 to 24 months, we're going to be implementing the microservices as EOS smart contracts. And then those smart contracts will initially run on mainnet. And as they evolve and get heavier, they will be running on our own sidechain. And once that the kind of sidechain tech is released, then we'll be implementing that as well.
Okay. So this is something that I'm always kind of confused about a little bit with the terms. And I think sidechain versus, fork versus software fork. Can you just so I'm completely clear, when you say sidechain, you mean like it's going to like use the mainnet, but be a sidechain on the mainnet?
Right. So sidechain means that you do not have your own block producers. You still are using the block producers of the main net, but you can make many transactions and run smart contracts off of the main chain and then just report back to the main chain when you need that interoperability.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason it's good is basically because it allows us to run like a supernode infrastructure that would run in parallel with the EOS block producers.
I see. Okay. So you're still using them as block producers, but then you're able to institute the supernodes as well.
Right. Yeah. The supernodes would not be block producers. At least that's not our current roadmap. They would be, if you're familiar with like an Oracle service, the block producers would be responsible for providing a lot of Oracle data.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or I'm sorry, the super nodes would be responsible for providing.
Okay. Yeah. That's why I paused right there. I was like, I don't quite get that. So the super nodes would be providing the Oracle data to basically the
smart contracts.
The smart contract. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. So right now, you know, we were talking about SETI and these other computational type things. Is that the main, I mean, it's called the social supercomputer, right? So just trying to understand, is that kind of the main core use case for Boyd is like providing raw, you know, massive computing power to a project that's coming to that needs it?
I would say that is a big part of our vision, but that is not what the vision is. So what you're describing is something kind of like Golem, and the Boyd platform is kind of like maybe one level above something like that. So we might have distributed or decentralized computing as part of our platform, but the mission of the platform is a gateway into the cryptocurrency space. So there would be a lot of things in Boyd that have nothing to do with distributed computing, but they might have to do with cryptocurrency exchange or markets. So we want to make it very simple for you to not only get cryptocurrency, but also to spend it without going into fiat. So we'll be highlighting, you know, various service providers and, you know, retailers that support cryptocurrency and make it very easy, you know, for people to spend it there.
Okay. So the mission is bigger than that, but that's kind of like the computation side of things is kind of like the way to get to the end goal.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like right now we do these distributed science projects, which are not very profitable. I mean, we generate Gridcoin from them, but it's, you know, if we just did proof of work, it probably would be more profitable. But well, for CPU, I actually think that the Gridcoin is a better use of your CPU time than doing proof of work. But what's interesting about Boyd is that you could do proof of work and also do the science projects side by side. So that's, you know, that's interesting aspect. Okay. For sure.
Cool. What are some other applications or things you'd be able to do with Boyd in the future?
So we'll be integrating kind of decentralized storage solutions like StorageCoin and SIA and Oyster Protocol, these kinds of things. Uh-huh. And also like there's projects like Mysterium where basically you get paid to be a Tor node essentially. So it's basically kind of like you get paid for your bandwidth. So, you know, we're looking at, and there's also many other distributed, there's many decentralized computing projects out there. There's probably, I just off the top of my head, I could probably list off like 20 of them, you know, so, but none of them are really operational or have any real traction right now. I think iExec and Golem and Sonam are on mainnet finally, but, you know, it's a kind of a limited application right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're monitoring all these things. And when we see one that makes sense for integration into the Boyd platform, you know, that's what will happen. And our users will be able to participate in these decentralized networks. And they won't even, you know, they'll never have to go and install the software and figure it out for themselves.
Yeah. Okay. I see. That's really cool. So this is like the missing link I didn't quite see, I guess, is that
sure.
You're kind of taking all these other crypto projects, integrating them into your software so that, and you may just make it easy for somebody to do, you know, participate in any of them. So I download mm-hmm. one piece of software from Boyd and I select, you know, which crypto project I want to be a part of. And then it all kind of happens in the background. I don't have to, you know, go into the command line or figure out how to install anything or mm-hmm. It's all done for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of the short to midterm goal.
Okay.
But in the long term, we intend to be, you know, our own, to be one of those competitors, to be, you know, our own decentralized computing marketplace and all these kinds of things. But for us, it's really more about the order of operations. Mm-hmm. There's many, many groups in this space that are spend a lot of energy trying to solve these incredibly difficult technical problems. We're more interested in solving the kind of branding and user experience problems. And, you know, all this tech is open source, right? So we can learn from these groups that are solving these very difficult technical problems, but networks are not, you know, network effects are not something that you can share, right. You know? Yeah. So to us, it's more valuable for us to spend time on the network effects versus like some proprietary technology that's going to spend like 4 years, you know, it's going to take like four years for us to build. And we don't know if people are going to want to use it. Right. So.
Okay. So for now you're kind of making all these other projects easy for people, but in the future you're going to kind of like
have our own proprietary version that's more integrated. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Okay, cool. Well, this is really interesting. I just missed it earlier or something, but understanding it from that perspective of I can just download one thing and participate in a bunch of crypto mm-hmm. projects very easily, taking the technical side out of it. Just that's a really great idea. I think that's a brilliant approach in terms of chipping away at the adoption side of things and the network effect side of things and hiding away the technical stuff, which is, you know, obviously very important. That's kind of the core of all of this, but that's a really cool approach. And I think a really needed approach, because I think also with a lot of these projects, I don't mean this to be an insult or anything, but a lot of the people working on them are brilliant and maybe not the best at like marketing and user design. Absolutely. Stuff like that. And so being able to bring both of those together, I think will be a great kind of service to the crypto community as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, well, this is pretty cool stuff. The Boyd token, how is that going to be distributed?
So we did an airdrop on the 15th, which, well, isn't actually over yet due to some RAM issues, but we're looking to finish that off sometime this week. So we did an airdrop to Genesis accounts, and we also are running a promotion now for users who register. The first 5,000 users that register get 1,000 of the Boyd tokens.
Very cool.
And also, I mean, we've had people mining the Boyd tokens basically nonstop since we launched on the 3rd, and the amount of Boyd power, which is kind of our word for basically kind of like your hash rate. So the total amount of Boyd power has just been increasing exponentially over the past few weeks. So it's competition is heating up, and we're rolling out EOSTACK as the first team on the Boyd platform. And there's a few other teams lined up as well that'll be coming out soon.
Okay, very cool. EOSDAC, how are they integrated? I mean, I guess you said the first team, so that they're basically becoming a super node kind of situation. How does that work?
Right. Well, during the alpha, it's not actually a super node. It's just kind of a simulated while we kind of figure out some of the metrics. Mm-hmm. But so we launched with one team, which is just the Boyd VIP team, just kind of the default team that everyone goes into.
Sure.
And then we just, you know, added the EOSDAC team. So when EOSDAC invites people, those people will go onto their team instead of into the default team. And those two teams can compete on like leaderboards and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. I'm at app.boyd.com and I can see the leaderboard here, and I see Boyd VIP and EOSDAC there. If I want to start a team, what do I need to do?
We have a form. You could just email us at contact@boyd.com and we will follow up with information. We have a few interested parties right now that we're working with.
Okay, very cool. And you said you have this promotion of the first 5,000 people who sign up get some mm-hmm. extra Boyd if want some more. How long do you expect that to go?
I think we have like 1,000 spots left. So,
okay. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. So we're probably going to go pretty fast.
Yeah. We're getting about 100 people registered a day. And we had an email list before the app went live, you know? Mm-hmm. So that email list has kind of taken up a lot of the slots. So, but yeah, get in while you can.
Well, I have to say, you know, this podcast may not be live by the time. There may not be any.
Might not be.
By the time
this is live. We'll be running more promotions. This is really just the first one to kick us off. There's going to be lots of opportunities to get Boyds early on. You know, like cryptocurrencies are supposed to be very inflationary, like in their early days, because you really want to reward the early adopters that are willing to hold on to it when it's when it doesn't really have much value, you know?
Sure, yeah.
So yeah, we're handing them out like crazy.
Okay, very cool. So you mentioned Boyd Power.
Mm-hmm.
Does that relate to the token at all, or is this a different thing?
It relates to effectively like your block reward or how much you would earn. So hash rate is like how many hashes per second that you do like in proof of work. Boyd Power is basically how much computing resources have you contributed to the network. And when I say computing resources, I mean it could be CPU, GPU, hard drive space, bandwidth. All these things are like summarized into one number. And that goes back to us trying to abstract the complexity away from the underlying technologies. So you don't have to worry about exactly what you're contributing and how. You just know you have one number, and that number goes up and down based on your recent contributions.
Cool.
And the amount of Boyd tokens that you are rewarded is basically related to your proportional Boyd power versus the total Boyd power of the whole network.
Yeah. Okay. So is that like inflation kind of thing, like a lot of the other blockchains where the newly created Boyd tokens are then distributed in that proportion?
The Boyd tokens are created at a constant rate, just like Bitcoin,
mm-hmm.
but the value of your Boyd power goes down over time as more Boyd power comes onto the network, just like as your hash rate increases, as the total network hash rate increases, the payout per hash decreases.
Mm-hmm.
But we're playing around with kind of a dynamic inflation. So, you know, like maybe when the Boyd power increases exponentially, then we'll have like a small inflationary nudge upwards to help to compensate the new participants so that people don't take too much of a pay hit in the short term. So we're playing around with things like that.
Okay. Very cool. So people can head over to Boyd.com and sign up and download and start using this. And right now, am I right in saying that right now it's not fully on the blockchain yet?
Correct. It is very much alpha. So we're just getting feedback from early adopters right now. And probably over the next 6 months, you'll see things going onto the blockchain more, smart contracts and those kinds of things.
Okay, very cool. Well, I appreciate your time talking today. Is there anything or any place that you want people to go to? There's Boyd.com. Mm-hmm. Anywhere else where people can follow you and keep up with what you're doing?
Our username is Boydcom on most of the social media, like Reddit and Twitter. So Boydcom.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a Discord and a Telegram. The Discord is very active. Telegram is picking up. So those are all good places to hang out. And also, I haven't mentioned this, but there is kind of a philanthropic side of the Boyd platform as well. So we actually have a partnership with Texans for Cures, which is a nonprofit in Texas that helps to fund things around genetic research. And we're running a charity pool for them. So what that means is basically you can delegate a percentage of your earnings to the charity pool, and charity pool will have a leaderboard for the top contributors, and we'll have kind of special prizes and bonuses for those contributors as well. And that's all going to go live sometime later this week. So there's lots happening. We're moving pretty fast. And anyone's listening and thinks this sounds interesting, then check us out.
Awesome. Very good. I'm definitely going to be continuing to keep an eye on Boyd and check it out. And I appreciate you taking the time today. And sounds like a really cool project.
Thanks, JP.
Yeah. Okay, so that's it for today's episode. You can check out exploringeos.com for all the links we've mentioned and to find out more about Boyd, or just go straight to boyd.com. Please take a moment to also leave us a rating and review on your podcast app of choice, and let me know what kind of guests you'd like to hear from in the future. If you have any recommendations or requests, just let us know. All right, thanks a lot, and thank you for exploring EOS with me today. The content of the Exploring EOS show, videos, and website are for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, legal, or professional advice of any kind. You should not take action on any information provided without first consulting a professional advisor and doing your own due diligence. Investing in cryptocurrencies is risky. Please seek professional help.